So welcome, Len, to Christie Walk, here where I live on unceded Kaurna land. And I'm really looking forward to today's talk, where you're going to be talking about your early days.
Yeah. Yes, it might become a bit rambly, but I'm sort of focusing on my childhood and youth as a country bumpkin.
Hmm.
So I was born in 1951 in the Maitland District Hospital, on York Peninsula, and from the age of about three we lived on a farm that was 15 kilometres south of Maitland, the district of Sandylands, which is a huge metropolis that in its heyday had a couple of houses and a telephone exchange.
But in now, its heyday?
Yes, in its heyday, but now it's just deserted. And I would describe my childhood as absolutely idyllic. We didn't have much money, but there was always food on the table. I had beautiful, supportive parents that loved each other and loved us. I was the eldest of four children, so over 10 years I had two sisters and then the much-wanted son and heir, my brother. We enjoyed ourselves enormously without mod cons, you know, climbing the haystack, which my father said, don't climb the haystack because if it falls on you, you'll get suffocated. But we did. and just making, climbing trees and building forts. And my mum tells this lovely story of she mowed the paddock. It wasn't a lawn, it was a paddock. Behind the house, just probably for bushfires. I didn't think about that at that age. And so there was a lot of grass, and she was amused that my sisters and I raked it all up into a giant mound and had so much fun doing it. And she's thinking, all that work that they've done, and they don't even realise it's work. I was blessed with a wicked, evil imagination that I used to control my siblings, and we had lots of fun playing imaginative games and just being kids. My education, I guess, began right from when I could walk, the education of what it's like to be part of a big family and how you pull together and learning the connection between the environment and the weather and just feeling part of nature. School-wise, there was no kindergarten in those days, so you started school me, I was just five, I turned five in November, and I was reflecting on how much independence we had as kids. And how there was no helicoptering, let's say. And my first day of school, there was no take Lynn to school, meet the teacher, make sure she's in there established, put her lunchbox in the right place, as happens today. No, I walked the kilometre down the road to wait at the bus stop with my cousins. The school bus came and picked us up, and off I went to school.
Do you remember that first day?
I do. I don't remember being afraid or nervous. It's just what you did. I guess you live up to expectations. Mm. Now, the bus requires some discussion. I think nowadays probably the education department has their designated school buses in rural areas. But in those days it was the local garage that had a bus and occasionally might maintain it, but not very often. And we would have so many breakdowns, it was just ridiculous. But we liked it when it broke down on the way to school. We hated it when the breakdown happened on the way home. At one stage, something went wrong with the steering, and the bus ended up on the edge of one of the locals' dams. which must have been a little bit frightening for those who were left on the bus. Unfortunately, for my sense of adventure, we'd already been dropped off, so I just heard about it rather than experienced it. But that's a good memory. So my formal education was at Maitland Area School. So that was from year 1 to year 11, no year 12 in those days. And I remember my first day of school having the cardboard case. Remember those?
Yes, I do.
Yes,
yeah.
Little case. And one of my things that I've never forgotten, it just shows you how traumatic experiences live with you forever. My case was exactly the same as another child's case, and I accidentally opened hers and then got accused of stealing.
Oh.
And, you know, in those days it was you were guilty until proven innocent, and I was 5 and shy and didn't stand up for myself and explain her case is the same as mine. See that trauma? Mm. It's like it was yesterday, and it's, you know, 68 years ago.
Mm.
Mm. So that was not a positive experience. I'm a very arty person, and I remember, well, I'm the one and only art lesson that I can remember. There may have been others. We had these Brennick squares that still exist today. I'm a junior primary teacher, I know. The glossy ones and stencils. And you picked out a stencil, you traced around it, then with a pin you pricked holes around the outline, and that was your art lesson. I think even at 5 I must have thought, this is rubbish. I remember we all had a metal cup because you didn't want to drink out of the community taps. And somewhere or other I've still got mine, carefully etched with our name. I remember the pencils that today you go online and you order a set of pencils with your child's name stenciled onto it. We got a Stanley knife or something similar and hacked off a bit and then as neatly as possible wrote the names on.
I've forgotten all about that.
Yeah. All these little things that popped into my mind.
Yeah.
The motto of Maitland Area School was Carpe Diem, but nobody ever explained it.
What about?
I went through all the way through school, didn't have Latin, so I didn't have a chance to learn it that way. Never knew what it meant. So what a wasted opportunity.
Absolutely.
That was.
Yeah.
I remember the infant school was on one side of the road and the secondary school on the other. So the infant school was the usual prefab buildings. And I remember the desks, you know, the two people to a desk and the bit that you sat on that flipped back. And a space underneath where you put all your stuff. I remember the inkwells, until the great improvement when you got the pens that you could dip in the ink and write more than a couple of letters. Yes. I remember that. I remember the children were in rows. There was none of this group work back in those days. It was boiling hot in summer and freezing cold in winter. I don't remember there being any heating, certainly no cooling. I remember the books that we had. I was a really bright child and I'd been reading since I could hold a book. And my dad would take me to the library, I think it was once a fortnight, and that was like the highlight of the fortnight, and I'd have a book read before he stopped talking to the librarian. So I read really well even before I started school, but no, we had a book per term, and woe betide you if you read beyond where the rest of the class were reading. how stultifying.
Absolutely.
Mm. So then you did read ahead. You're just bored, bored, bored.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of this choral reading where you all took a turn to read a bit. Generally by that stage, when it was my turn, I'd gone off into la-la land and got into trouble for not knowing where we were up to. Yeah, and the primers that you had, that everybody had to be at the same place, at the same time, irrespective of whether you were a bright student or even worse, someone that was struggling, you were still expected to, well...
You all went at the same pace.
Teach to the norm.
Mm.
Yeah. I remember, I don't know how I would have survived without the library, and I remember the good old Enid Blyton. As a teacher, I would still read Enid Blyton books, but strategically alter things. So Dick became Rick and Fanny became Tammy, and the black racist characters, I'd leave those bits out.
Yeah.
But as a child, I just loved it. And really developed a thirst for reading that's lasted all my life. Remember the Pollyanna books and What Katie Did. I must have read them so many times. And then there was Anne of Green Gables. I think I could have quoted most of that by heart. I read it so many times. Do you remember the Wide Range Readers? I think they came in at perhaps about grade three.
Yeah.
They had blue covers
and
they had it like a compendium of stories. But once again, you all read the same story at the same time, and woe betide anyone that tried to get ahead. So boring, boring, boring was my overriding memory of my infant school years. Just as an aside, when I was first teaching, they decided that they would upgrade the title of the headmistress of infant schools, and initially it was going to be a principal infant school. Now, think about what that spells out.
Mm.
They changed their mind fairly quickly after that. That always amused me. Another really strong memory of the infant school was this teacher who felt like she was ancient, but she couldn't have been because she only retired a few years ago, but she may have retired at quite an old age. She was such a tartar. We were so terrified of her. And I remember having to go to her classroom to pass on a message, and I knocked on the door and walked in without waiting to be told that I could. Well, she made me practice for about 5 minutes. It felt like hours. Knock on the door, wait till you're asked to come in, then come in. Humiliating.
Did you forget the message that you had?
No, probably. No, she was horrible. The positives of the primary years is all about the playground, about friendships, because you go to school with the same group that were neighbours and on the bus with you. So those friendships were really, really strong. And we played together out in the yard. We played hopscotch, skipping, hoops. On the play equipment, those horizontal ladders that you finally learnt how to swing from one end to the other like a monkey. I remember all the blisters on the hands, but the sense of satisfaction when you got from one end to the other, and then when you managed to miss one and swing to the next one. There was a canteen at Maitland run by volunteers, and once a week, I think it was 2 and 6, that sticks in my memory, and that bought you a pie or a pasty, a finger bun. And I was trying to remember what the ice creams were called. They call them paddle pops today. The word high top comes into my mind, but I'm not sure if that was so. Perhaps one of the listeners could fill you in. Then after school, home on the bus. And every Friday you'd take a couple of loaves of bread. And if the loaf of bread had been split and there was bread sticking out, it wasn't sticking out by the time we got home. In fact, it was caved in.
Why did you take a couple of loaves of bread?
You just thought Mum would order it from the local baker and saved her a trip into Maitland. Because remember, we lived 15 k's. Yeah. And we didn't have much money, so if you could save petrol, we'd do it. Yeah. At grade 3, the kids from Point Pierce Mission were bussed in. The racism was appalling. Just looking back at what was said and the warnings that were given to us little kids about, don't go anywhere near her, she's violent or she'll have a knife. So needless to say, the Aboriginal children stuck together and the white kids kept away from them because we were scared. It was awful, awful.
How long did that go on for?
The racism or...?
That's still going on, but being able to talk about kids like that.
Yeah, well, I do remember that in Year 7, one of the Aboriginal kids managed to pass. He was the first kid that passed on into secondary school ever at Maitland Area School. So that was a big thing and it was kind of celebrated. So I think as I went through school, things improved a little bit, but there was always that underlying keep away, they're not to be trusted. Yeah. And as a impressionable child, I just took it on board. Mm. I didn't question it. I feel really guilty now as an adult, but you know, you just believe what your parents said.
And what your teachers said.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, today you've got Aboriginal people that have got degrees and are doctors and lawyers,
absolutely.
But my time at school, that would be unthinkable. Mm. And you know, like I said, celebrating getting through Year 7 is pretty minor, isn't it? Yeah. But obviously nothing much has changed. The Voice is a good example that we are still a really intolerant country. Another example of prejudice was the social studies books. I can remember clear as day that the images in the social studies book of the Aboriginal guy with what do they call it? The
loincloth.
Loincloth, yeah. And the spear and one of the explorers or one of getting speared by them, like by these evil primitives. And it's lasted all my life, that image. Mm. That's horrible, isn't it? So many other positive images that are lost in the mist of time, but that's stuck there. I remember my primary years as happy and stable. I found the work easy and I was confident and outgoing and a real performer. Not so when I got to secondary school. I don't know quite what happened. I think partly it was the friendship elements, because at year 8, all the Lutheran kids and the Catholic kids that had money, they went off to the private schools in Adelaide. So I lost my best friends. I think that may have had something to do with me becoming a lot more introverted. Also, the structure of the secondary school was very distant and impersonal. And I remember we had a physics... before I say that, I'm into literature and language-rich subjects. Maths, forget it. I had to do maths 1, maths 2, physics, chemistry, geography and English. No choice. For me, that was a nightmare because numbers don't stick in my head. Science, physics and chemistry was just a foreign language to me. And the physics teacher was teach by humiliation, particularly girls. So he was the sort of person that would come in and point the finger at you and say, Newton's first law of motion, and you were expected to regurgitate it immediately. And if you didn't, you were told you had to stand on the table for a certain amount of time and be humiliated. Horrible man. But I do also remember that we soon learnt that he was passionate about golf. So we'd try and get him talking about golf and the lesson would be over. And I remember him picking on me. He picked on me a lot because by then I was really shy and introverted. And he obviously got his kicks out of humiliating such people, asking me the colours of the rainbow. And I said, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Right, and he looked disappointed, I'd say, shocked and disappointed that he couldn't have me stand on the table and be humiliated again.